probably can.
You can make those changes, and why don't you move forward? Ultimately, our board has the ability to say thank you, but no thank you. Am I answering your question?
Yeah, I think the way I understood the law is that I'm trying to integrate my understanding of this concept is that when you come forward with like the Pearlbrook standalone hearing with the council to create the
new district, yes.
We can only accept it or reject the plans. We can't amend it.
Yeah, but you could send it back to us.
Correct.
Sure.
Okay, but
yeah.
I think that's right.
Okay. I think that's right. Yeah, you're talking about new plans. That has nothing to do with the budgets.
Okay.
That's the urban renewal plan.
Do you see Linda here? I don't see her anywhere. Linda Mang. I see her there. Great.
That your attorney is that
email. Yeah. Can we flip the city attorney sign up and have him blend in? That's David. He helped craft. Yeah.
Call the roll and start. It's up to you, everyone. You're well versed.
Well, let's get through the roll call on that stuff. Instructions.
Testing.
We'll come to. Hello. We'll come to order. This is the Portland City Council. This is our first time acting as the Portland Development Commission's Budget Committee. And first thing we'll do is have a roll call.
Okay, Mayor Potter.
Here.
Commissioner Adams.
Here.
Commissioner Leonard.
Here.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Here.
We'll then have Bruce Warner, the Executive Director of the Portland Development Commission, tell us how the events will proceed today.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Councilors, and welcome to your first meeting as the Portland Development Commission's Budget Committee. So this is the first time you're meeting in that capacity since the charter was approved by the voters in 2007, and then a subsequent state law was enacted that again allowed that to occur. The Budget Committee has, I think, as you know, certain responsibilities under state law, ORS 294. And Dave Ellett, our acting general counsel, is here if you have any questions on that in and of itself. And I want to point out this meeting is the time where the council is charged by your charter to primarily review our budget to assure that the proposed budget is aligned with the city's adopted policy goals and priorities. That's right out of the charter. And it's also this meeting, either today or tomorrow, is the opportunity for public to testify before you as the Portland Development Commission's Budget Committee for input into the budget before you take action. As you know, we've got 2 hours scheduled today. We have 2 hours scheduled on Thursday to complete the work of the Budget Committee. Doesn't mean that you need to take both days to do that work, but one of those days you need to provide an opportunity for the public to testify. So if you don't do it today, we need to have that opportunity tomorrow before you adjourn. And we'll get into this a little bit more, but if you approve the budget with or without changes, it goes on to the Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission for their review and endorsement, and then ultimately the PDC Board of Commissioners for their adoption before July 1st of 2008. In terms of the agenda, I just want to go over it very quickly. I think you've done the roll call. I guess gave you a quick overview on the charge. In order to do your work as PDC's Budget Committee, you must first elect the presiding officer to run the meeting, which can be any of you based on a vote of the four members present. So again, that would be one of the first things you need to do. The second thing is we can give you a little more detail on the timelines of what we see as the budget adoption process. The second agenda item is where I will briefly go over the highlights of my budget message, which was the proposed budget was given to you. We'll also go over the recommendations of the budget work group, which was comprised of Commissioners Sten and Leonard, along with two of our PDC commissioners, Rosenbaum, Will Hoyt, and citizen member John Cruz. And I'm also going to ask Keith and Tony to identify any other issues that we know about that have surfaced since that budget work group did its work. The discussion, agenda item three, is just what it is. That's an opportunity for you to talk amongst yourselves, but obviously ask us questions so we can give you answers. We provided time, 30 minutes, for public testimony if you get to that. The fifth agenda item is really to, we'll keep track of any items you bring up that we that need some follow-up for tomorrow, and we'll get those identified if there are those. And then, obviously, if we can, is take formal action, which will approve the budgets, and we'll get into that. We have a resolution that is a PDC resolution because you're acting as PDC's budget committee today. And then, again, you can see the next steps are kind of identified after the budget committee takes its action. So I think I'll turn it over to the committee and let you folks elect your presiding officer and then get into the meat of the agenda, if that's helpful. So first off, does that explain the task pretty well?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Do we have a nomination?
Nomination for mayor to be the presiding officer.
Second. Call the vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mayor Potter?
Aye.
Commissioner Adams?
Aye.
Commissioner Leonard?
Aye.
Commissioner Saltzman?
Aye.
Thank you.
This is a new role for her. It's Emily Swenson's. So you're doing it well. Thank you very much. So, Mr. Chair, if I could then, I was presiding officer, I should say, why don't I ask Tony Barnes, our principal budget analyst, to go through the budget you have before you. And or the timing of the budget, and ask Keith to talk a little bit about some of the details that we're going to be talking about today as we move forward.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor, councilors. Tony Barnes, principal budget analyst with PDC. Just a quick recap of our budget schedule for the rest of this budget process. Upon approval of the PDC budget by this committee, we'll be forwarding the budget to the Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission. Following approval of the budget and forwarding of the budget to the TSCC, we'll be also forwarding the budget to our Board of Commissioners. We currently have scheduled a work session with our board on June 11th. We'll be working through decisions of this committee with our board and any other recommended changes they'd like to see go forward in the adoption of the budget. On June 25th, we will be holding a hearing with the Tax Supervising Conservation Commission and our board. They will be having a public hearing reviewing the approved budget, having a public testimony, and finally, our board will take action to adopt the budget with any final changes.
And for the benefit of the budget committee, just to remind you the goes from here to the Tax Conservation and Supervising Conservation Commission. They take action, then it goes to the board for adoption. Our board does have the ability to, again, make further changes to the budget at that time. If there's any changes that are above 10% of any fund, it has to then go back to the Tax Conservation, Supervising and Conservation Commission before our board can take final action on the budget. Right. I want to make sure you understood that. And Mr. Presiding Officer, I think I forgot that I want to go over my budget message to set the tone for what I did. And I would just point out, if you folks have this document, which I sent to you, there's a tab. It's entitled Budget Message, and I just wanted to take a couple moments to identify some of the key things. Mr. Saltzman, do you have a copy with you? Would you like?
I don't have one with me.
Well, we'll get you one here.
Copy.
That's all right. I just want to make sure you have it.
All right.
So if you go to the tab on my executive director's message, what I wanted to do is just make clear that I'm very pleased to present you and the community with our proposed 2008-2009 PDC budget, and I think we've done a good job of working with your staff, with the budget work group, and have come up with a budget that really does integrate the commission goals, the city goals, and the outcomes and measures, and ultimately implements the urban renewal plans that the city council has approved. In terms of some of the things I think are important to note, we have put into our budget time and monies to allow the community time to consider the future of urban renewal. As you know, there was a group that looked at the downtown urban renewal areas and what ought to be done with the two expiring districts and then with the River District. But we've also been working with the community in the Lentz urban renewal area, and I think there's a desire that we look at, as you'll hear later, a new urban renewal area in the downtown Portland area and maybe another one on the east side. So that we have effort and work and time built into our budget to do that. The other thing I want to say is we are putting an increased emphasis at PDC on economic development within the urban renewal areas to really identify an economic development strategy for each one of those urban renewal areas, and efforts to really advance the elements of the city's initiatives on sustainability and alternative fuels initiatives. The 30% set aside is part of the budget. The other thing that's very important is we have a number of projects that are relying on TIF funding to complete the funding package, mainly on transportation projects, and we can get into those in a bit too. And I would just note that the overall budget is down a bit from last year, mainly due to bond proceeds being spent on projects during this fiscal year. And so our overall operating budgets continues to be a little over $200 million. And then there's reserves and so on that go along with that. In terms of key initiatives, I just wanted to point out on page two of my message, we have monies in our budget to work with the City of Portland on conducting an update of its disparity study, which was done in the early 1990s. This is a piece of work that was done to examine potential racial and gender disparities in the construction industry, as well as the construction trades apprenticeship systems. And we know that the city is moving forward on that, and we have monies to help fund that particular study during this next fiscal year. Also would point out that the work group, the councilors and the commissioners, made it clear they really wanted to see better integration of development, economic development, and housing programs. And as you know, I'm making some major changes that will not be implemented until after the beginning of the fiscal year, but the monies are in the budget to be able to accomplish that. And then finally, I did mention that the downtown waterfront South Park blocks are being allowed to expire, but the committee really wanted us to look at a new URA in downtown that really looked at areas like Portland State University, the Goose Hollow area, Lincoln High School, the Conway site, and then making sure we don't forget the needs of the central retail core in Portland. So we'll continue in this budget to focus on economic development and really are prioritizing the target industries to try to do really, catalytic-ish things in those particular areas. And our economic development director can talk about that more if you would like. And then finally, housing in terms of this section is a priority both for home ownership, helping bridge the gap in minority home ownership, and again, providing opportunities for people who can't afford homes or housing. Turning on to page four, I just have to go on record as noting that the work group and others really identified a number of key properties that are critical to the future of Portland and we need to spend some time on. The first was the freeway land site, which is in the Lentz area at the corner of about I-205 and Foster Road, which is 100 acres plus property. It's privately owned, and we're working with other agencies of the city in figuring out what would be the best plan for the development of that area that can really make a difference in that community. The headquarters hotel continues to be in our budget, and we're hoping by the middle of this summer, Metro will be making a decision whether to move forward with that project or not. Union Station, a gem in downtown. We need to have some monies, and there are monies to continue to work to try to find solutions to the deferred maintenance, but also trying to figure out ways to make this facility continue to be a wonderful landmark for Portland. And probably the most exciting one on this list is, as you're aware, we have a letter of intent now with the U.S. Postal Service to actually purchase their downtown office and processing facility, which would free 13 acres for redevelopment in the heart of downtown Portland. And that would allow them to hopefully move to a site near the airport. And we will know, I think, by the beginning of next year, whether we have an agreement on a price, an agreement on a way to actually take that land down. And the last one I noticed was some things that we're doing in Old Town Chinatown related to the Uwajamaya, thank you, a Asian grocery store, and the redevelopment of the Goldsmith blocks to really provide a huge opportunity for reinvestment in that particular area. And then last, on the conclusion on page six, the first part of the conclusion paragraph, the focus of this budget continues to be on achieving the goals and policies established by the City Council and the PDC Commission, and PDC projects and programs will continue to support citywide priorities, strategies, and focus areas, as well as the specific objectives in every one of those adopted urban renewal plans. So that was probably too long, but I wanted to make sure you knew the things that I thought were important for you to know as you go through looking at our budget. And if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Okay. So just a process question. Is it the intent to pass this on today to tax suit?
Well, I mean, to approve the budget?
Mm-hmm.
That was a discussion point. We also have time. How many hours tomorrow set aside?
2 hours.
To also, if this doesn't get done today.
Because it is my intent to, if we're going to pass it today or tomorrow, to propose an amendment that would require that any of the general fund dollars that we, the City Council, give the Portland Development Commission for Economic Development be not allowed to be dispersed or not allowed to be spent until the PDC was in compliance with Resolution 36590, which was adopted on March 12th, requiring that the city attorney act as general counsel. So that would only be a discussion I would enter into if we were going to propose planning on voting to pass it on. So I just thought.
Okay, I think there's a place, isn't there, in the order of events where we can discuss other resolutions?
This isn't an other resolution. It's an amendment to the budget. So it would be part of the process of, as we vote on any item.
Is that two separate things?
It is. One is an amendment to the resolution, and one is an amendment to the budget itself.
So there's a couple things City Council could do. You know, at some point, you'll need to pass the resolution that kind of officially takes our proposed budget and makes it an approved budget with the appropriations, expenditure schedule, et cetera.
Right.
You could amend that resolution with this language and move it forward. I think you also have the option of not moving our budget to TSCC until maybe a time that parallels when the city's budget goes to TSCC. So there's some different things. We could work through everything the next couple of days, pass a resolution with that piece, or we could work through everything the next couple of days and say, let's wait and take action until we take some other actions concurrently.
Well, to be honest with you, I think that having the debate today on this amendment would be premature and only would happen because of the sake of meeting a timeline that was previously set, which is unduly early. Commissioner Adams is spearheading some discussions to try to find some resolution. I think that there's some opportunity to have that happen so that we wouldn't necessarily need to have this amendment. But the position I've taken is that we have to have resolution on this budget, the city budget, and this outstanding resolution that was adopted by the council as a package. So, I mean, there is an opportunity for that happen. I don't want to take a lot of time discussing this if there's a consensus that we can set this vote aside beyond tomorrow, you know, to some point soon in the future, but still enough time to get through the process. But I feel pretty strongly of that resolutions adopted by this council need to be complied with unless there's some extenuating reason not to.
Okay.
And so I guess I would just hope that maybe we use this time then to get the issues outside of that issue, wrestle to the ground, answer your questions, and get agreement on the budget if we can. And then you can decide whether you want to insert that now or wait until you're ready to go with the entire city budget. I mean, I understand what you're saying. But I would like to be able to answer your questions and get any other changes.
I do have some on in that vein, but if the kind of how I've laid it out is okay with Mayor Potter and the council, I'm willing to forego this discussion today and see how these other discussions go in the interim and take this up at some point in the future if need be.
When you say discussions going on in the interim, are you talking about discussions about the attorney issue or discussions
and the
about
budget.
The budget?
Both. I mean, for me, they're part and parcel. We are part of our budget.
Well, I would agree. I guess if we're going to be here for a whole day today and possibly 2 hours tomorrow, I think this is the forum to make these decisions.
Make what decisions?
On the budget and on your proposal, your amendments.
But what? I think you were saying, Commissioner, that...
Commissioner Adams has come up with, I believe, something we all support on the attorney issue.
But you don't want to consider it until we know...
Part of what I feel very strongly about is I have up to now supported some $5-plus million in City of Portland general fund dollars that are discretionary on our part. We have the ability to spend them any way we want, and we have the ability to put conditions on them if we spend them. And part of what I would be doing with this budget note is conditioning the use of that money with a budget note that would say that that money couldn't be spent unless this resolution was complied with. That, therefore, kind of gets into the city budget as well and becomes part, because I want this same language to be on the city side and our budget as well. So it all becomes one package. So I can't make an agreement on any independent part of those three moving parts, which is the city budget, the PDC budget, and this outstanding resolution on the attorneys until we have agreement on all three, because they all interrelate. And if we have agreement, that's great.
I think that there is a requirement to have a formal presentation of this of the PDC budget. And I think regardless of what avenue we take, we have to have that done. And that's the next section, which is a formal presentation under ORS 294. So if that's okay, we can proceed with that. If there's, I don't think we can change the order of events or not have this as a presentation.
Well, we just got the presentation.
I don't disagree. We have to go through the presentations, but I thought we were convening for the first time as the budget committee for the PDC for the next 2 days. So I guess I'm saying sometime in those next 2 days, I would think we would pass a budget or approve a budget, and if Commissioner Linder wants to put an amendment forward, we would do that.
I guess I'm suggesting we don't need to pass it on in the next 2 days. We can have the hearing. We can pass it on, but there's nothing that actually logistically requires us to pass this on at this point. I mean, that's a suggestion, a way of maybe avoiding having a discussion that ends up not being necessary to have if we reach a bigger agreement on the two budgets and the attorney thing in the next few days.
Okay.
But
I'm saying that I believe it appears that we've got to have a formal presentation of the budget regardless of what happens next, and I'm suggesting that we comply with the procedures that have been set up under state statute.
Didn't you just have that?
No.
You had my message, which told you in general what the high points of it are, but we want to be able to present to you per the requirements of state law what our budget it really does have in it. And so that's what Keith and Tony are here for.
Yeah, so if we get through that, well, I mean, we will get through it. When we get through that, then we can come back to this issue and decide where do we go from here in terms of an amendment or postponing the vote. So what we're going to do, and I'm going to hand it off to Tony Barnes, but there's kind of three pieces that we want to alert you to. One is the attachment A. You know, this is what's referred to in the resolution. This identifies our funds, you know, and that's kind of the language you speak in terms of approving the, you know, forwarding expenditures in these individual funds. You'll notice some are just named after urban renewal areas. You'll notice some, you know, we have a general fund and we have some other things. We also have, there's some things that we are requesting be reflected in the approved budget that were not in the requested or proposed budget. Tony Barnes will take you through all those adjustments. He'll identify what is different between the requested budget that, you know, at least sitting around this table, Commissioner Leonard and Commissioner Sten were involved in, as well as our board back in February. So there's a couple little tweaks that were changed there. He'll take you through things we need to see reflected in an approved budget. We will show you some kind of higher-level pie charts to break down the funds, and then we'll start walking through the urban renewal areas. And as we get into those things, as we get into anything, you can identify questions, issues, projects, wherever it might be, that you maybe want to see some adjustments on as well. So what I'm going to do is hand it off to Tony, who will talk through some of the higher level financial budget issues.
All right. Thanks, Keith. I'm going to be walking through the presentation that was handed out earlier.
You've got
on the budget. Does everybody have a copy of that?
Yeah.
Copy of your right hand. You've got a copy of the PowerPoint?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Are you instructing me to put this down and pick this up?
It was a hint.
Okay. In the total PDC proposed budget, the proposed balanced budget is $288.6 million. The budget's made up of a number of different funding sources. As you can see from this first slide, majority of the budget is our urban renewal funds. That's made up of 11 different URA funds for a total of expenditures of about $160 million. What I'm going to do is talk about these high-level funding sources at first, and then we'll dive down into a little bit greater detail about the specific funds or URAs as we walk through this presentation. So the urban renewal funds are the biggest component of our proposed budget at about $190 million. We also have a PDC general fund at $42 million. That comprises all of the staffing and operating costs of PDC plus the proposed city general fund allocation. Also in the budget, we have an enterprise fund of $20.4 million. That comprises of PDC's housing investment fund, the neighborhood loan funds, as well as some Fannie Mae and Oregon Residential Lending Program funds. And the special revenue funds at $6.5 million comprises of PDC's contracts with BHCD, or CDBG, home dollars, lit abatement dollars. And finally, we have a contingency overall of about $28 million. And that contingency is really spread primarily across the urban renewal funds in, say, River District, Downtown Waterfront, and South Park blocks. But it all adds up to about $28 million. On the second slide, going into more detail on the PDC General Fund. Sure.
So the contingency went from 13 to 28. What accounts for that? More or less.
More or less, it's a resulting of the timing of bond sales. When we sell bonds in certain districts, for example, in Downtown Waterfront, we recently had a bond sale that is providing funds for expenditures this year, but also in future years. Next year, we have more planned bond sales. And that's the primary reason why that's going up, is that we're selling bonds, but we're not going to spend all the money next year. We're going to spend it over the next 5 years or so.
But it gets booked as contingency?
Right. So we have the ability, if projects that are planned speed up, we can move it out of contingency next fiscal year.
But you're going to sell bonds next year in order to have cash over a five-year period to do various projects. Do you identify what those projects are
right,
where the council approves what the bond is?
The projects are identified in the budget, and they're also included in the official statement of what we plan to spend the money, the official statement for the bonds.
So contingency is something that would then show up in when we look at the individual URAs?
That's correct.
Okay.
Going back to the general fund, the second slide, you can see we've broken out of that $42.1 million, about $5.6 million is the city general fund allocation. That represents the $5.2 million that was recommended by the budget work group, as well as $400,000 for funding of the downtown marketing initiative combined. Throughout the general fund, we also have all the staffing and overhead costs for each operating department at PDC. So all the folks that actually work on the projects on a direct basis or more of an overhead basis are budgeted here in this fund.
Could you refer to the slide numbers just so we...
Page 3.
Slide number 3. Okay, great.
On slide 4, this is the breakdown of the $190 million in expenditures in the urban renewal area funds. As you can see from this, of the 11 URAs, the River District is the largest allocation at $47 million planned in the proposed budget. excuse me. This also includes South Park blocks, $20 million, Central East Side, $16 million. Downtown Waterfront, closeout budget, $19 million. And North McAdam at $18 million. Smallest budget right now is the Willamette Industrial budget, just short of $500,000. And that includes all expenditures, staff, materials, all project direct expenses, loans, and grants that are provided for housing purposes or for economic development funds.
So are we heading to keep going? That was just an overview, right?
Yeah, just an overview of the funds. What I'd like to do maybe is spend a few minutes talking about where in the budget document we can look at very specific line-by-line URA funds as well. But we'll walk through the overview first.
Right.
On slide, it's five.
Mm-hmm.
Special revenue funds, $6.5 million. This includes the allocations, estimated allocations for the Housing Community Development Fund, which is our BHCD contract for CDBG funds, Community Development Block Grant. Also our home grant funds, another federal allocation that we manage through the Bureau of Housing and Community Development. And finally, a small allocation for staff and administration of the Enterprise Zone program.
So this is money that you use for affordable housing?
That's right.
In combination with BHCD or other nonprofits?
Right.
So I guess this would be the appropriate time to ask, and I don't know if Bruce might be the right one. Recently, one of your commission members made it clear that he thought it inappropriate to use these funds to provide rental units for folks versus home ownership. And I think his exact quote was, rental units create ghettos. There were a number of us that were struck by that comment, observation, that it seemed to be not in keeping with the goals of the council to provide affordable housing for as many low-income folks throughout the city as possible, and that to provide home ownership would mean you'd have a dramatically smaller population that could be served, and conversely, a dramatically increased population that received no assistance. So to what extent did that comment reflect what would appear to be a new policy on the part of PDC?
Well, I don't know whether that commissioner's here in the audience today, but
I haven't seen him.
But first off, I would say that I think it was an unfortunate use of the term ghetto. I think what he was trying to do, and there is other commissioners here I know that could follow up on this. This wasn't about the discussion of home ownership. It was really about the discussion of utilizing TIF revenues outside of the urban renewal areas. What you'll find is our board is totally committed to the TIF set-aside policy and the provision of rental housing, but what they were liking to do, and in the resolution that they passed when that discussion was going on, asked that we make it clear to the city that we'd like to see part of the legislative strategy for the next legislative session include amendments to RS 457, which would allow TIF resources to be spent outside of the urban renewal areas for affordable housing, which would then mean that you don't concentrate all of those inside of an urban renewal area, but you have the ability to actually build maybe just outside the boundaries where oftentimes the land is cheaper and we can build more units for the same amount of money. So I think that was really the intent of that comment. I think it was taken a bit out of context in terms of what it was referring to, but it really wasn't about home ownership.
If you look at it in the context that you're describing, I thought of Station Place, which serves the elderly, income levels between 0% and 30% at the foot of the Broadway Bridge in the Pearl, and I wondered if he needed to visit that to be assured that low-income housing doesn't necessarily mean they're ghettos.
But I don't think so. I think he's mindful of that, and you may have some discussion in our next board meeting just to clarify that too.
So I had a question learning how to read the PowerPoint presentation against the budget item. So I'm looking at special revenues on page 62 where it mentions HCD contract funds, housing acquisitions. Am I looking at the detail here on page 62 of the summary PowerPoint presentation?
That's correct. If you look at the proposed column under special revenue,
okay,
this is the same items, actually, the rolled up fund amounts for other federal grants, HCD contract
so
fund.
Does Randy Miller, Randy Miller know that you've zeroed out the investor fund? Investor program, Tony?
We have no appropriation established at this time.
Does he have your home phone number?
My understanding is that there might be, we don't have it in this budget. It might be being transferred to another organization.
Just so if you remember right, this was the discussion of creating a greater Green Light Portland.
Right.
And so we were looking at utilizing those revenues to jumpstart to help that organization get going. So we did
That's
some transfers of that. Right.
Okay.
So he well understood it and was part of that discussion.
Well, I support that. Okay, thanks.
Sure. I think we're on slide 6.
Mm-hmm.
Enterprise funds. The enterprise funds are budgeted at $20.5 million. It's made up of a number of different smaller funding sources, if you will. Excuse me. The largest program within the enterprise funds is the Neighborhood Housing Program, $16 million. It's a combination of really $8 million in authority for loan origination through the Fannie Mae and Oregon Residential Loan Programs for actual PDC originating loans in and without inside and outside of urban renewal areas. $8 million represents transactions with the city. The city has a line of credit, a short-term line of credit that we utilize to bridge the transaction, the time between we actually make the loan and sell the loan back to Fannie Mae. We have to have budget authority to facilitate that. So that's $8 million of the $16 million. Also in here is the Housing Investment Fund, budgeted at $865,000 for next year. And then there's several smaller economic development loans. They're really revolving loan funds. One's called the Revolving Loan Fund, North Northeast Business Assistance, Industrial Sites Grants, and Urban Development Action Grants. And these represent smaller appropriation amounts, and they're contingent upon loans, prior loans, actually getting repaid to allow future loans to happen through these budget items.
I used to know the answer to this question, but you lumped these together in something called enterprise funds because of the nature of their discretionary nature? Or why are these lumped together in a particular fund?
Right. Most of the program funds are loan repayments.
Okay.
So they're not an allocation of funds from the general fund or the urban rural areas.
So we'll get most of these back.
That's right.
Okay. Thanks.
And slide 7 is a final roll-up of PDC's budget, kind of taking a different look at it. PDC's budget by investment category. Again, the total PDC budget of $288 million. And this breaks out the budget using categories of infrastructure, housing for rental, housing for home ownership, development, and program staffing and administration, as well as some of the interfund transactions that are included in the budget to make up that $288 million. But really what we can focus on is the infrastructure at $34.5 million, the housing items, rental housing at about $50 million, and home ownership at around $25 million. Public facilities at about $12 million. Those items, you won't see it when you look at the budget document broken out in those categories. They represent a different roll-up, but gives you a good perspective of how the total PDC budget comes across in different themes and expenditure categories.
Are you able to track expenditures by whether or not that expenditure is expected to produce direct increment or indirect increment?
We don't have a specific methodology, if you will, in place to do that. We are looking, and we have talked about methods to do that.
I'm looking for the piece, and I think it's in the economic development section on page 137. And it could be what you're identifying as small business technical assistance program, but it's the piece we discussed in the subcommittee relative to the minority chambers disbursement. Is that what that is? would be 20, get there. 26, 713. I'm on page 137.
Okay. That's, right.
I'm not asking you to explain that. I'm asking you to show me where that piece is.
That is correct. That's the piece
that's
for
the
that.
Piece. And I note that that's 500,000. How does that break out for the various minority chambers?
Well, if I remember right, the budget work group said that it was to be $250,000 for each, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and the African-American Chamber of Commerce. And but obviously that is different than when we get into the budget, general fund budget that's been proposed by for the city, because we'd have to make some adjustments that would lower that amount.
So are you saying to me that it is an equal amount for each chamber?
That was the direction of the budget work group, and that's part of the discussion I think you I think probably want to have.
But is there something different than that?
Nope.
Now this document reflects the work of the budget work group. We knew that there were going to be certain things that had to be reconciled today, but what you're seeing in here is based on the conversations from February. So,
but if we approve today to send on to tax soup, it will include this $500,000 amount?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say if you approve this today, I mean, what you'll need to do, if you approve this today and you approve the ECDEV line items according to a $5.3 million allocation, then you'd have to figure out a way to either true up the city budget or kind of true down.
So that gets funded by these general fund dollars that I want to put
yes.
this budget note on.
Correct.
But aside from that, I had been told that amount had changed to 250 and 150. I'm seeing a nod.
So the amount that's reflect.
Sorry?
Yeah, it was changed to 250.
And 150? That one of the chambers got 250 and one got 150.
250 total.
This is 500 total.
Going to two or to one organization?
It was just a line item. I mean, what we were asked to do is to say if we had 1.8 in one-time funding from the general fund, how would it be spent? And so Aaron Flynn, the director of economic development, said minority chamber assistance is going to be 250. We didn't take a shot at saying whether it goes to one or two or three or four. We just brought it down commensurate with some of the other cuts we made in our budget.
Reconcile that with the 500 I'm looking
so, at. So let me try again. So the budget committee or the budget work group who presented this budget, which we just moved forward from that group, assumed $5.3 million mm-hmm. of general fund.
Okay.
The amount we're going to get is going to be about 3.2.
And where's that at?
And that will be part of the changes that we'll be talking to you later that we need to make.
So the 3.2, but I don't, this is for the continuity of the discussion. Point me to that document.
Help me.
So, that document is the city proposed budget.
Right.
You're seeing disconnect intentionally because this is our budget.
Gotcha.
Yeah. That's
so your budget is where that reflects 150 and 250, not this budget.
I think it's 250 total.
It's 250, and I don't know that we've gotten to the level of detail about where it goes.
Okay.
Yes. So that's the difference between their budget and the proposed budget.
So we are basically
reinforces my point that we really need to talk about these, at least, even if we didn't have a disagreement about the attorney thing, the two budgets. I mean, they have to be more in tandem than what they appear now, because I have some concerns about that. I mean, I feel strongly that they're both very worthy organizations, but we shouldn't place a value judgment on one minority chamber over another. We should treat them both the same.
Yeah, and I mean, let's be real clear on that one too. That the minority chamber piece is one that we are simply a pass through.
Okay.
I mean, it's not as if PDC is saying we view A more than B.
Gotcha.
We're just the conduit.
Thank you for that clarification.
Okay. Good. So, before we go into the URAs, can we ask some other overarching questions? So. Your professional service contracts are up by 5, and your professional and technical services line item is down by roughly 5. Is that just the...
What page are you on, Commissioner?
71, 72. Is that just the nature of the cyclical nature of the work, or Is something going on there we need to know about?
Really, it depends on a year-by-year and project-by-project basis. What you're looking at here is a roll-up of all accounts throughout the entire organization, all funding sources and all projects. So there's going to be some variability based on the types of projects, the types of studies, and activity that goes from year to year.
And who in the organization looks at the details of that?
All of us, but all of us do, the executive team, but our chief financial officer is the one that's monitoring those contracts.
One of the purposes of today is to identify questions. We clearly are not going to have the answer to every one, so we can write that down and come back tomorrow with a more detailed response.
And then the program income, if I could see program income broken out by URA, if you haven't done that already. Because program income looks like through the sale of property is going to be way up.
Right. This might be a good time to go into the URA specifically.
Yeah.
Give me that direction.
Thank you. So we'll turn it over to Keith now to get into the URA specific budgets.
Okay. And so as we walk through this, you know, you're going to see on these slides they're really high-level slides. And to the extent you have specific questions, such as that one, Commissioner Adams, we can answer them. We'll bring up the expert from the URA to talk about any projects you might have questions on as well. So we'll start, I think it's alphabetically, with Airport Way. So Airport Way, located out adjacent to the Columbia, close to 205, predominantly industrial, commercial, urban renewal area. What we're going to do with each one of these URAs in an attempt to kind of constantly educate is show you in the 07-08 tax year the amount that PDC receives for investment and the amount that is redistributed to taxing jurisdictions. And you'll notice as we walk through this, as all of you are probably well aware, in certain cases, PDC keeps just pretty much all the money for investment. In other cases, the wealth is actually distributed elsewhere. So in Airport Way, we receive about $2.4 million for investment. We also receive $3.1 million through this special levy, and I'll take 1 minute to talk about it because there's people here that don't know what it is. The special levy was created by City Council back in the mid to late 90s in the wake of a number of property tax ballot measures. And given some of the limitations that were placed on urban renewal areas through those tax measures, the council decided and the legislature actually decided and council agreed that the urban renewal plans that were in place before these limitations need to carry out the goals and need to carry out the community priorities. So council was able to make some decisions and on how they wanted to allocate resources. And there was this special levy, which is a citywide tax. And at the time, the council said, we will issue $15 million in a citywide tax, and we'll distribute it among Airport Way, Downtown Waterfront, South Park Blocks, and Oregon Convention Center, urban renewal areas, to make sure they can continue to implement their plans. So with Airport Way, you're seeing it's receiving 3.1 of that $15 million to invest in projects and programs. So a couple things that are also important to notice. You'll see up top, it releases about $16 million to other jurisdictions, the city, the county. If a new building was built in Airport Way that was a $200 million building, all the property taxes associated with the assessed value would go to the other jurisdictions, not to PDC, because the taxes on growth is capped. So you'll see this kind of a pie chart or bar chart or whatever you want to call it in some of the other districts, and it's an important thing to know. The line item on the bottom, the frozen base, the 2.7, that's when the urban renewal area was authorized, you know, in finality by city council. That's how the taxes that were being generated in that district at that time. That amount continues to go to the other taxes. Okay, so what this slide shows you is over the last 4 or 5 years, how much Airport Way has received in tax increment and from the special levy. Again, since our amount of resources and tax increment is capped, you see it always being about 2.3 and change. And here you see the decisions in terms of special levy allocation over that period of time as well. That's a little bit more flexible. But you know, once you dedicate it to a certain urban renewal area, if it's paying off debt, you can't suddenly shift up and give it to another if it needs it to pay its debt payments.
It might be useful just
in the future is when you do this and then include the how much is returned, that people show that at least in Airport Way we're making money for the county and the school districts and the port.
Okay. Again, this district, it was established in 1986. It's 2,700 acres. It can't issue any more debt after May 2011. But again, associated with these property tax measures back in the 1990s is that every urban renewal area that was around back then had to basically set a credit card limit, the maximum indebtedness. And this district's already hit it. So we can't issue any more debt anyway. So the money that it has to invest is mostly derived from what Commissioner Adams was talking about earlier, being program income. That's essentially, if we own land and we sell it, we can reinvest it in that district or elsewhere. If we have a parking lot out there, I don't think we do, but if we did and we're receiving monthly income off of people paying to go use it to park, that's program income. If we have a loan to a manufacturing company and they're repaying that loan, that's program income. And so that's basically what's fueling this district right now. For 08-09, there's about $4.8 million in resources available. Some of the top issues you see over the next 12 to 18 months is we do kind of control a number of acres out there. If you notice, there's IKEA, there's a number of other properties that have been developed that was land that we controlled. There's recently some agreements we had with the federal government to build a federal office building out there as well, I believe for a government agency. The interesting thing about this district is, first of all, it's heavily focused on jobs and manufacturing. We've helped a lot of manufacturing companies in this district, you know, through loans and grants, help them expand, bring jobs in. Right now, it could provide critical land for the relocation of the central post office. So when you say, well, does PDC have any money on the other end of the trail? I mean, if we're going to help downtown and try and find a way to buy the property, you know, through some of these, the program income and the proceeds we receive out there, it could provide resources to construct a new central post office or, more likely, help bring similar jobs to the area, whether it's a Netflix or the kinds of companies that want to take advantage of that kind of proximity to air and freight and everything else. So I'll pause there to the extent you have any questions about this urban renewal area and light items in the budget, we can talk about it.
If you can get FTEs associated with each urban renewal area, if that's easy to get, that would be great.
It's not in the document, but we can provide that.
So the Willamette Industrial Urban Renewal Area, next one. Again, this is a newer district. Next year, we're looking at almost $400,000 in resources, providing $8.9 million to other districts. That's the amount of property taxes that were being generated when it was created. So, you know, you'll see actually the growth is fantastic, but it's still a small number. And, you know, it was created in 2004. It's 760 acres. You know, the focus clearly at the time that it was created was trying to capture the expansion of Siltronic, which didn't happen. And in large part, people felt that was one of the reasons we could begin to tap into a maximum indebtedness of $200 million. There's a lot of work going out there within kind of the enterprise zone. And you heard from Seth Hudson probably a month or two ago on that program and some of the strategic tinkering we're doing as it relates to the Willamette Industrial Area, because if you're helping businesses expand in the area, but you're providing them with property tax abatement, it's great because you're creating jobs, but you're not generating tax increment. This district will, in time, as those tax abatements end, will begin to see resources, but you know, it's come under discussion both of the past 2 years in the formulation of our requested budget. You know, previously when you were involved, Commissioner Saltzman, and then with Commissioner Sten and Commissioner Leonard and Chair Rosenbaum and Commissioner Wilhoit, that should the entire 760 acres be tied up in urban renewal, is there a better way to clean up the Portland Harbor and find some other resources?
Well, I think Commissioner Stinn clearly raised that question about the efficacy of continuing it. And I would agree to some extent. But
so that's something we plan to look at. We've got to get some answers on that. And I think people are saying that the 758 acres that's currently in an urban renewal area that's really not providing a lot of opportunity. And there's other ways to attack some of the problems in here. So that is something we will be looking at.
We expanded that to include Swan Island, didn't we? Or most of Swan Island? The Willamette Industrial?
I mean, it was
we expanded for both Walker as well as going to Swan Island. We actually crossed the river there.
Yeah, it's got a, it does cross the river. So I think believe there are parts
of Swan Island. Is it all of Ross Island? Is that all part of Swan Island or all of Swan Island?
Let me find the map.
Part?
All of it.
All.
According to this map here. Almost all of it.
Now, I know that there's some discussion around some of the brownfields on Swan Island and using some of the URA funds to clean them up and begin to use them for development.
Yeah, you know, the key is that as hard as our staff has worked to try and kind of crack the brownfield and the Superfund problem, you know, we all kind of chuckle about the fact that the Superfund has no funds, is that if we want to see something happen out there, given the small amount of tax increment, like we're not going to be able to do it alone. Whether we're going to have to get federal assistance or city general fund assistance, there's going to have to be a kind of another look at how do you really get it cleaning up this land so you can use it for biodiesel initiatives or whatever it might be. And on our work plan from the budget work group in February, and you'll remember Commissioner Leonard, we said, you know, we'll look at a new downtown district. That was kind of one item. And in conjunction with that, take a look at Willamette Industrial. And to the extent there is success with the current satellite district that's being contemplated, and you'll see in June with David Douglas, you know, could a new downtown district assist in kickstarting Willamette Industrial, or is there another way to increase the amount and accelerate the amount of tax increment resources available for cleanup and the relocation and expansion of companies?
So, Mr. Mayor, I just want to follow up. We are just about to initiate a Blue Ribbon Committee, which I think we are going to be asking you to be on, which will start looking at that very topic, because we know there's lots of interest in the land on both sides of the Willamette River in this area. But once they find out about the Superfund, the harbor and the brownfield contamination, the interest quickly leaves. And so we've got to solve this nut, and we've got to figure out a way to deal with that. And the question is, is this a tool that can actually do the job? And I think the work group was clearly questioning the ability of the financing of this urban renewal area to really attack that problem. So we've got to get a lot more creative than this urban renewal area.
Going to Gateway. Okay. So the next district, and this is one of our first kind of neighborhood-based urban renewal areas, really to see a lot of community development, community economic development activity, is the Gateway Regional Center Urban Renewal Area. This was created back in 2001 to take advantage of its location and proximity to light rail and is designated a kind of a metro regional center. The district generates about $2.2 million a year in property taxes for PDC to invest. And at the time, back in 2001, it generated 6.7, which continues to go to other jurisdictions. You know, you'll notice that we're not seeing growth in this area. I mean, since 2004, when there was about $1 million, you know, it's only gone up by about $1 million. And because of that, it's really limiting our ability to make some bold moves and bold strokes in the area, in this geographic location. I'll talk more about it in 1 second. The last date to issue debt is 2022. There's still about $150 million remaining, but you know, you can only get to it if you're generating money in the first place. In 2008-09, in this budget, you're seeing just shy of $5 million for investment. A number of things we're trying to do, one of which is continuing to try and purchase land so we can get our arms around some things and do some development and do some projects that lead to increment, and buy land before prices go up. One of the things that's impeding it is, you know, if you go out to this district, you'll notice that the Portland street network, you know, is kind of poor at best. And it's either incomplete or there's gravel roads, or there's no roads at all. And when you work with the developer, and maybe somebody's interested in developing their property, then they find out in order to do it, first they have to build a street. You know, you kind of go right back to square one. The budget work group talked about the fact that they would be willing to have PDC enter into conversations with OMF to the extent resources are available and get some kind of a loan, maybe a low-interest loan, or some means to work on the street network and begin to address those things so